And we're turning to Mark's Gospel tonight, please, as we continue on in our study of the Gospel of Mark. I want you to come this evening to Mark chapter 1 and the verse 35. Mark chapter 1, please, and the verse number 35. We'll read a few verses here together and trust the Lord will even help us as we bring his word tonight. So verse 35 of Mark 1. I want you to note the connection here. Christ has just healed many, many people at the door of Peter's home. And they've been gathering from the sunset of the Saturday evening, which was the Jewish Sabbath, right through perhaps the early hours of the morning, coming from all over Capernaum. And yet we read that in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him, and when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word. And we are conscious that the word that we have read is thy word. And Lord, we need help to expound it and to bring the message to thy people this evening. May we follow the train of thought this evening. May we be able to glean much by way of the scriptures. Help us, Lord, to be apt to teach, apt to expound, apt to bring Christ before the people. Lord, speak, we pray. Lord, we're conscious that we must present Christ in all his fullness. And yet only the Spirit of God can take that word and make it effectual to the hearts of men and women. As we reason with men tonight, may they take the counsel that the Lord gave when he said, Come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give thee rest. Grant us that experience tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Now, if you look at those verses I've read with you, verse 35 through to verse 39, you will find that before you there is a very intriguing narrative. Those verses that record the Lord Jesus rising up a great while before day and going out and praying in a very lonely, very isolated place. Now, it was after a busy day, the Lord Jesus, he retired away from Peter's home where many people have been gathering all night to be healed. And Mark records here that he retired or he went away into a solitary place, a place where nobody could find him. Nobody knew where he had gone. Now, I want you to look at this and say, well, what's really going on here? Many were coming throughout the night. Peter was there. Andrew was there. The four disciples were there. And it was no doubt a very demanding experience. And it seems to be that when the house falls quiet and Peter goes to bed and maybe the Lord lay down as well for a while, but we're told that before the house awoke, a great while before day came, that he went out. Look at the words in verse 35. It says, he went out. But not only did he go out of the home, he departed into a solitary place, a secret place, and there he prayed. Now, we'll look at that later on, some other week. But you will find that prayer was the key to the success of Christ's ministry. He refreshed himself. He prayed. He preached. And he prayed. The ministry of prayer accompanying the ministry of preaching of the Word of God. Now, the words here that are in verse 35, they strongly suggest that Christ's departure out of the home was unknown to Peter and the four disciples, or the other three. Look again at verse number 36, where it says, And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. Now, if you're reading the Gospel of Mark, I want you to get this. You read those words, And in the morning Christ went up a great while before day. He departed into a lonely place, a solitary place. There he prayed, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. Now, I want you to look at that. You might think, well, is this saying that they went out and they prayed with him? Well, that is not what it's saying. In fact, the Greek word here is a word that means there was a manhunt. They searched for him. And it's a word that suggests that Peter goes up in the morning and the Lord is nowhere to be found. He has left the home, and the three disciples with Peter, they begin to wonder, well, where is Christ? Because the door begins to knock and many people are beginning to arrive the next morning to be healed of diseases and so on. And Peter goes out and he looks and he searches, for that's what the word followed means. It's a word that means to search earnestly. Look at it again. Simon and they that were with him, they followed, they sought for him. And the word literally means they hunted down the Lord Jesus. That's what the word means. Straight from the Greek here. And they hunted for him. Not followed him, knowing where he was. They hunted everywhere looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. The word that's used there, followed, is the only time in the entire New Testament that this word is used. The word follow is used many, many, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Completely different word. And yet our King James translates it this way, but it's really, it should be translated or could be translated that when they, and Simon and they that were with him, they hunted down Christ, or they began to track him down. Now, I want you to notice something here, because it's very interesting. It says in verse number 37 that when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And that's the words that Peter brings to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn over to Luke 4, because Luke 4 is the parallel passage here, and you'll find the similar words, I believe, here in Luke chapter 4. And it says there in verse number 42, and when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Now this is what's going on here. Jesus had been healing people at Peter's house. He now leaves Peter's home. He goes into a place to pray. Nobody knows where he is, but they track him down and they find him. And Peter's first words to the Lord is, Lord, what are you doing here? You need to come back to Capernaum, for all men are seeking for thee. There are dozens of people, many, many people are looking for thee. Looking for thee. And yet look what the Lord says. All men seek for thee. Peter says, and the Lord says, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. Let us go into the next towns. I want you to concentrate here. Let's just look at the word, please. It says here, when they had found him, they said unto him, all men are looking for thee. All men are looking for thee. Lord, you've got to come back here. And what Peter was doing is he was saying, Lord, there's a great ministry for you back in Capernaum. There's a healing ministry. There's a great, if you want an opportunity, Lord, to build your ministry in the region of Galilee, Lord, then this is it. People are coming to thee. They're looking for thee. They're seeking for thee. They're looking for thee. And the Lord turns around and says, okay, Peter, I'm not going back to Capernaum. I'm going to the other cities to preach. For that reason was I sent, or therefore came I forth. Now I want you to stop and look what Peter's reaction would have been or could have been. He looks at the Lord and with bewilderment and amazement to think, well, you know, Lord, are you for real? I've just told you everyone in Capernaum is looking for thee. You can't go to the other cities. You can't go to the other towns. You must come back right now. You ought to see the crowds gathering around my home, and Andrew's there, and James is there, and we're all there, but you, Lord, you need to come back. Peter, I'm going to the other towns, for I have been sent for that reason. My ministry is to do the will of my Father in heaven. My ministry is not a healing ministry. My ministry is to come and to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God and of repentance to all men. And that's what the Lord did. And that's what the Lord answered. I want you to talk. I want you to look at this with me this evening. I want you to notice with me the heart of Christ's ministry, which was preaching. The heart of the Savior's ministry was preaching. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, of repentance and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet that comes, that statement. Look at the words there in verse 38. For therefore came I forth. In other words, I have been sent from heaven above for this reason to preach, Peter. I am not a healer. I'm not interested in a healing ministry. Now I want you to know something here. The Lord healed people. And the Lord showed compassion in people, but the Lord did not come to perform a healing ministry. He came to seek and to save them that were lost. He came to seek and save those who understood their lost condition. He didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save sinners. And that's what the Lord realizes here that he must do. And you know, I want you to understand something here. There are, I think, several times in the Gospel of Mark that the word seek is used. Look at the word here in verse number 37. Peter says, all men seek for thee. Every time the word seek, or its other derived derivations, sought, they sought for him, seek for him, it's used in a negative sense, in a bad sense. There's not one occasion in the Gospel of Mark where the word seeking for Christ is used in a good sense. Let me explain this to you. Turn over to Mark chapter 8 and to verse 11. There were men sought for Christ here, Mark 8, verse 11. I want you to look at this. What does it say, Mark 8, verse 11? The Pharisees came and began to question him, seeking of him a sign from heaven. They were seeking him, but they were tempting him. And the Lord responds when he sighs deeply in his spirit and says, why does this generation seek after a sign? And it's a negative sense. Men seeking Christ is not always a sign of success. And that's what the Lord was trying to teach Peter. Peter was saying, men, all men are seeking for thee. But the truth is, all men were not seeking Christ. Men were wanting healed. Men did not want to know the true gospel. Men did not want to know why Christ had truly come. They came to be healed. They came to be freed of their illness. Is that a bad thing? No, it's not. But you can see the Lord's heart grieved. Peter, because all men are seeking for me back in Capernaum is not a sign of success. And men and women, you go through the Gospel of Mark. Look at Mark 11 for a moment. And the verse 18, what does it say there? Christ, men were seeking him there. Mark 11, verse 18, it says, and the scribes and the chief priests, they heard the Lord, and they sought, or they seek for him, they sought for him, that they might destroy him. So there's another negative occasion. Men sought Christ to destroy him. Look at Mark 14, verse 1, what does it say? After 2 days, the feast of the Passover, unleavened bread, the chief priests and the scribes sought Christ, how they might take him and put him to death, seeking Christ is not always a good thing. Now I want to throw that around and say to you, men should seek Christ. But men will only seek Christ whenever they have a true sense of their sin revealed to them. I'm glad to see people in the house of God. I'm glad to see you in church. But I want you to understand something here tonight, that true men who are seeking Christ will only ever seek Christ whenever they have their sin revealed to them. Now, as we look at these words, I want you to notice here that while the heart of Christ's ministry was a preaching ministry, it was a revealing ministry. Look here, first of all, go back to Mark chapter 1, and you'll see here how the Lord really rebukes Peter. Because remember, the Lord is training this man for ministry. And he says to him here in Mark chapter 1, in the verse number 38, let us go into the next towns, and that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. Now we know, go back to verse 14 of Mark 1. It says that Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time was fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. So we have no problem understanding what Christ was preaching. He was preaching to men all through the towns and regions of Galilee, repent and believe the gospel, seek my Father's kingdom, seek my Father's grace and love. But those people outside the home of Peter, they were not seeking the Father's kingdom. They were seeking healing, freedom from their sin. And I want you to turn now to another gospel. Turn to Mark, John chapter 6, please. Turn over to John chapter 6. I show you a very interesting passage here where the Lord had to deal with men again in the region of Galilee. This is the Lord's Galilean ministry. In John chapter 6, and you'll go down there to the verse number 24. Now, giving you a bit of background here, the Lord has just fed 5,000 people. And the people have received a free breakfast. And they look at this and they go, well, this is amazing, this man. He feeds the people by turning, just producing loaves and fishes. And they all began to seek after this, the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 17 of John 6 says that Christ or the disciples went to a ship and they went towards Capernaum. See Capernaum again. They went to the other side and Jesus was not in them. Now there was a tempest here and Christ walks in the water and he appears on the other side of the Lake of Galilee. Now, as the people in verse 22, it says, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save the one which the disciples were in, and Jesus didn't go into that boat, but his disciples were gone away, they go to the other side, they get boats, they hire boats. For it says in verse 24 that when they saw that the disciples were gone and Jesus was nowhere to be seen, they said he must be on the other side. So it says in verse 24 that they got shipping and they took it and they came to Capernaum, look at it please, seeking for Jesus. Seeking for Jesus. Now you might read that and think, this is a wonderful thing that men are seeking Christ. But no, men and women. John chapter 6 has thousands of people being fed by the hand of the Lord, and now they're seeking Christ. They come in ships to the other side, and they find the Lord. And look what it says in verse 25. They come to him, and they say unto him, Rabbi, why have you come over here? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, please look at verse 26. I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. To put it in a very sarcastic way, the Lord was saying, you're coming here because you got free food. You're not interested in the miracles. You're not interested. The Lord knew their heart. You're not interested in my word, in my gospel. And the Lord rebukes them and the Lord deals with them and he exposes their superficial interest in the gospel. I say to you unsaved tonight, that Jesus Christ is not interested in superficial religion. Oh, I come to church, I read my Bible, I do all these things. You know something? You can sit in a free Presbyterian preaching house all your days. And all you have is a glaze. All you have is a superficial outward attachment to the gospel. You may be interested in certain things. You may have benefits by calling yourself a Christian or saying you're attached to a church. But I can tell you those superficial Christianity will damn the soul. And whenever you meet Christ, you will find that his ministry is a revealing, exposing ministry. Exposing ministry. That's what Christ was doing here to Peter. Peter, I'm going to preach in other towns. Peter's standing amazed, can't get his head around it. Why is the Lord turning his back on these hundreds, maybe thousands of people? For he says, they're not seeking me, Peter, for my gospel. You know, there's a lesson in that for the church today. You know, you hear preachers saying, wouldn't it be just wonderful to see our churches filled? And it would be. But wouldn't it be a tragedy if our churches were filled with men and women who were just seeking something other than Christ? Do you understand what I'm saying? If you have a church filled with people who are not seeking Christ, what is the point? I hear pastors talk all the time. And they're trying things. They're doing things. They're trying to get people in. They're trying to fill their pews. We're dealing with eternity here. When Christ saw, Christ was not like us. If that was me, if somebody comes to me and say, listen, there's 1,000 people down there that want to hear you preach. Well, you'd be away. But see, the Lord was not interested in a building a ministry around those things. He had come to preach the gospel to men and women who were facing an eternity in hell. And he comes and he says to them, labor not for the meat that perisheth. But for that meat which endureth for everlasting, everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give to you, and for him the Father has sealed. That's John 6, verse 27. Turn over to Matthew 11 for a moment. There were words spoken here by the Lord in Matthew 11, verse 28. Do you remember those words? The invitation of Christ, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest." Verse 28 of Matthew 11. Come unto me, and that's a wonderful command. Come unto me, the Lord says. It's an invitation. But the thing is, men don't come to Christ. Men don't seek Christ for salvation and for redemption and for forgiveness of sins, because they do not see their sinfulness. They do not understand. They need to have their sin revealed to them. They need to have their sin exposed. And Peter stood back that day, and he had realized what he had said. But Peter realized that his ministry as an apostle would be one of revealing and exposing the superficiality of sinners. You know, Matthew 11:28 is absolutely meaningless to men who have never been awakened to their sense of need. You stand in the open air on a Saturday. You knock a door. You do these things. You say to them, "Come to Christ. Believe the gospel." And they look at you, and they laugh at you, and they walk on. What's needed there? What's needed is a work of grace. And we need to pray in this church for this town of Antrim that God, we have a gospel mission at the end of this year. I can tell you, it's wonderful to see a room filled with men and women who are not saved. But we need to pray, and we need to pray that God will not only bring them seeking for a good night out, a cup of tea and a biscuit, and a bit of fellowship with other people, other farmers they know. How pitiful that would be. But to see them coming, seeking Christ. The Lord preparing them. And that's what the Lord's ministry was. When he preached the law of God. He preached the gospel of God. And he met sinners head on. And he exposed their sin. And he left them with nothing but himself. See, we need to remind ourselves that this is the heartbeat of true evangelism. Preaching the gospel. But what is the gospel, men and women? It's not believing the Lord Jesus Christ. It's part of it. How do we get a man to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? How do you get your husband, wife, to go to the doctor when he's not well? I'm okay. How do you get someone to Christ? How do I get you tonight? I've been preaching to you for 7 months. Some of you aren't saved. Maybe some young people here are not Christian. How do I get you to Christ? By preaching. I do it by bringing you face to face with the Word of God, the law of God, because I can't do it. The law of God, Paul said to the Galatians, is like a schoolmaster. We were talking about the schoolmasters today. My old schoolmaster's retiring. I'm glad. She used to beat me around the room. I thank the Lord for her. She taught me many good things. But you know, the schoolmaster, when he whipped out on big cane, you young people do not know what that was like. A few people here know what it was like. And these they always tell you, "This is for your good, young Thompson." I thought, no way. And yet Paul takes that line and says, the law of God, he says, is like a schoolmaster that leads you to Christ. How does a schoolmaster lead you to Christ? The law of God, it condemns you. It hurts you. It wounds you. And it can't save you. See, that's why it's foolish. You come to the Ten Commandments and you say, "I'm going to keep those commandments and I'm going to go to heaven." No, you won't get to heaven. You will find more of your sin. You will say, "I can't keep that first commandment. I can't keep that second commandment. And the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth." And right through those commandments, your sin will be exposed to you by the law of God. And it's like a schoolmaster whipping you and driving you away from the law But you must get to the law first before you can get to Christ. You must go. There's two mountains in the Bible that are so important. There's Mount Sinai, the law of God. There's Mount Calvary. And you can't go to Calvary right away unless you've been to Mount Sinai first of all, where you've seen the law of God, and you've seen the lightning flashing, and the mountain, and the ground shaking, and the fire ascending. Do you remember that, little children? You read the book of Exodus, know what it says? That the fire went up from the top of the mount right into heaven. Frightening. And it says that the people shook with fear. But what did they say? We will serve the Lord our God. The law condemned them and drove them to Christ. You know, one of the wonderful, the most, I read a story, it's a true, it's a sermon. When you go home some night, look up Dr. Law and Dr. Grace. I don't know if you ever come across it, but it was a sermon preached by a man, Lester Roloff. And Lester Roloff, he was a preacher, and he's one of those, you know, those old eccentric preachers. And he began to tell the story about a man going to the doctor. About a problem, he says. I have a problem with my tongue, he says. I keep using bad language and telling filthy jokes, and I can't seem to stop it. And I have a problem with my hands. They steal and they do awful things. I have a problem with my eyes, he said. And he says, they see things and they want to see things, and I've got to go to the doctor. So he went to a doctor that was recommended, and the name of the doctor was Dr. Law. And he went in to see Dr. Law, and Dr. Law said to him, Mr. Roloff, you need a new heart. And he says, no, my hands are the problem. Mr. Roloff, you need a new heart. And after a period of time with Dr. Law, explaining to him, well, my tongue's still giving me trouble. No, you need a new heart. And the law kept condemning him and saying to him, you need a new heart, you need a new heart. So he tells the story how he rebelled and he walked, stormed out of the doctor's, Dr. Law's office, and he says, I'm going to find a new doctor. And he went down the street and he came into, saw another doctor's surgery. It was called Dr. Religion. And he went in through the door and he said, Dr. Religion, I've just been to Dr. Law. He says, I need a new heart whenever it's my tongue that's giving me a problem, and my eyes and my feet and my hands. Oh, don't worry about Dr. Law. He says he's a bit of a museum piece. He hasn't been trained in the new methods. What you need is a new church. Go to church and you'll be okay. So he goes to church. He comes back a week later to Dr. Religion and says, that hasn't worked. I still feel awful. My hands are still doing the things I used to do. My eyes are longing for the sinful things. Have you been baptized? He said. That's what you need to do. Have you joined that church? He says, no. So he went and he got baptized and he joined the church. And a week later, he came back to Dr. Religion. He says, Dr. Religion, it's still not working. I don't believe I'm one bit better. Dr. Religion says, you need to take a job in the church. Get involved in the church and you'll feel a lot better. And your tongue and your eyes and all that problem will go away. He got so weary with trying to fix his problem, religion. He went back to Dr. Law and he says, Dr. Law, I need an appointment with you. Dr. Law says, you need a new heart. He says, okay. If the old heart has to come out and you and Gwen, that's fine. When do you operate? Oh, Dr. Law says, I don't do the operation. I just tell you the problem. And I show you the one to go to. And he opened the door and he says, in here is another doctor and his name is Dr. Grace. And Dr. Law says, I never perform any operation, I just lead you to Dr. Grace. And you know the story goes how he went in and he talked to Dr. Grace. And Dr. Grace, he looked at him and he said, well, where are your nurses and your anaesthetist? Dr. Grace says, I don't need anything. I don't need any of those things. And he says, well, you know, can I phone my wife and tell her that I'm going to have this operation? No, you must. This is personal between you and I. And you see, that's what grace is. Grace is so much different than law. And yet the gospel is law and grace. The law of God condemns you. That's why the law is given. It is grace saves you. Law will drive you through the door to Dr. Grace. And grace will perform the operation. It will reveal your sin. It will cure your sin. And you see, that's what evangelism needs today. Look at Acts 16 and verse 30. I want to show you something here very quickly. I know time is moving on, but look at Acts 16 and the verse 30. You know what it says here? Paul was in the prison house with these two men. Paul and Silas were in the prison house with prisoners. And you know the story. There was an earthquake and the doors of the prison were opened. And the jailer, he comes in and he's going to kill himself. And Paul cries in verse 28 and says, "Do thyself no harm, we're all here." And then the man comes to Paul and he falls down before Paul and Silas and he says to him in verse 30, "Sirs, tell me, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." You see, this man had a confrontation with the law of God. Something had revealed to him his need of Christ an hour before. At 11 o'clock that night, there he is, a big burly man dealing with these prisoners. No interest in the gospel. But at midnight, when the earthquake struck, and we're not told whatever happened there, but that man had a dealing with God that evening, and he runs to the preacher and he says, "Tell me, what must I do to be saved?" Something had driven him to Christ. It was the law of God. And Paul says to him, "You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, his person, his work, and thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved." You know, men and women, I wish I had time to go on here, but I feel the Lord has been with us tonight. Whenever the Lord said, "I must go and preach," that's what Christ did. He preached the word of God. He preached the law of God. Do you remember that time whenever the Lord had the Pharisees around him and they brought the woman and said to him, "This woman has committed adultery. Is she worthy of stoning?" And the Lord never spoke. He simply went down on the ground and he wrote with his finger, said nothing. And one after one, the men began to walk away. What did Christ write in the ground that day? We don't know. But I would say it was the law of God. The seventh commandment, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And each of those men, as they looked, they were condemning that woman. They were condemned in their own heart. And they couldn't stand the law, and they ran away. You see, we preach in this church, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." You will not come to Christ until Christ shows you your need. But you know something tonight? That should concern you. Your prayer in this meeting tonight should be, "Lord, show me my need. If what this preacher is saying is right, and it is right, because it comes from this book, then I must get to Christ. How do I get to Christ? I can't get to Christ unless, Lord, you lead me. Take me out of myself." As the old Scottish preacher said to his congregation, "May Christ chase you out of yourselves." May Christ do that tonight. And may Christ give you that faith, the gift of God. May God allow you to see yourself as you are. And may repentance be given to you as well. For that's what Christ preached. Jesus preached repentance. Repent and believe the gospel. Dear man or woman tonight, repent. Believe. It is the gift of God. How do you repent? The reason why you've never repented, the reason why you've never believed the gospel, is for you have never received the gift of repentance. You've never received the gift of faith. You've never. But you can. You need to seek for it. You need to ask for it. Have you ever asked the Lord for salvation? Because I tell you something tonight, while I've emphasized your inability to save yourself, I'm saying to you with great confidence tonight that any man that asks Christ to save him, the Lord has never turned away. May the Lord come tonight. May the Lord drive you out of yourself to Christ. For the promise is, for whosoever believeth on him, he will give rest. Come unto me, he says, I will give you rest. I will give you that wonderful rest. That is the outcome of faith, the outcome of coming to Christ, seeking Christ, is that promised rest. And may the Lord do that this evening. So may the Lord show us what the heart of the ministry of Christ was. I must preach. Men had to hear this message. He was not going to commence a healing ministry. He was going to the next town and the next town, and he's going to preach the gospel of repentance. May God bless you tonight. May God help you to come to him.